It's my desire to have a heart-to-heart chat with you young men of the Aaronic priesthood, especially those among you who came to this meeting reluctantly, or perhaps would not have come at all were it not for a mild threat or small bribe from your father or priesthood leaders. When our children were younger and we would be on our way to our Sunday church meetings, occasionally we would pass a car pulling a boat. My children would become silent and press their noses up to the windows and ask, "Dad, why don't we go water skiing today instead of to church?" Sometimes I would take the easy but cowardly way out and answer, "It's simple. We don't have a boat." However, on my more conscientious days, I would muster up all the logic and spirituality available to a patriarch of a family and try to explain how much happier our family was because of our church activity. I first realized I wasn't getting through when on a subsequent Sunday we saw a family laughing and excited as they loaded their snow skis onto their car. One of my teenage sons said with a sly grin, "They're not really happy, huh, Dad?" That statement has become a family joke whenever we see someone doing something we cannot do. When I see a teenager driving a beautiful, expensive sports car, I say to my sons, "Now there is one miserable guy." You young men are growing up in a most challenging and confusing world. Activities always forbidden by the Lord and for many years frowned upon by society itself are now accepted and promoted by that same society. The media serves up these activities in such a fashion as to make them look very desirable. Add acceptability to desirability. You add to that the power of peer pressure, and you have an extremely explosive situation. Lehi's vision of the tree of life is appropriate in our day. In that vision, he saw a great and spacious building which represents the pride and temptations of the world. "And I beheld a great and spacious building, and it was filled with people, both old and young, and their manner of dress was exceedingly fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who were partaking of the fruit." Even though you have a testimony and want to do what's right, it's extremely difficult not to be drawn to that great and spacious building. From all appearances, the people in the building seem to be having a great time. The music and laughter are deafening. You would say to me what my children have said. "They're not really happy, huh, Dad?" as you watch them party. They look happy and they look free. But don't mistake telestial pleasure for celestial happiness and joy. Don't mistake lack of self-control for freedom. Complete freedom without appropriate restraint makes us slaves to our appetites. Don't whatever you do, envy a lesser and lower life. When I was in junior high school, I would get out of bed on cold winter mornings and head for the heat vent to get warm. The family cat would always beat me there, so I would gently shoo her away and sit down. Soon my mother would tell me it was time to leave for school. I would look out at the icicles on the house and dread going out into the cold, let alone beginning another day of school. As I kissed my mother goodbye and went out the door, I would look longingly at my comfortable spot in front of the heat vent and find the cat had repossessed it. How I envied that cat. If that weren't enough, she would look up at me with heavy eyelids and an expression as if to laugh at me and say, "Have fun in school, Glenn. I'm sure glad I'm not a human." I hated it when she did that. However, an interesting thing would happen as the day went on. I would come home after experiencing the joys and sorrows of the school day and see that lazy cat still curled up in front of the vent. And I would smile and say to her, "I'm sure glad I'm not a cat." To those of you who are inching your way closer and closer to that great and spacious building, let me make it completely clear. The cats in that building have absolutely nothing to offer except instant, short-term gratification, inescapably connected with long-term sorrow and suffering. The commandments you observe were not given by a dispassionate God to prevent you from having fun, but by a loving Father in heaven who wants you to be happy while you are living on this earth as well as in the hereafter. You just compare the blessings of living the word of wisdom to those available to you if you choose to party with those in the great and spacious building. Compare the joy of intelligent humor and wit to drunken, silly, crude, loud laughter. Compare our faithful young women who still have a blush in their cheeks with those who, having long lost their blush, try to persuade you to join them in their loss. Compare lifting people up to putting people down. Compare the ability to receive personal revelation and direction in your life to being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Compare holding the priesthood of God with anything you see going on in that great and spacious building. The members of many churches in the world have been putting pressure on their leaders to change doctrine to fit the changing lifestyle of the members. Many have been successful, and more we see churches made up of the doctrines of men. There are absolute truths of eternity. They do not change as a society drifts from them. No popular vote can change an absolute eternal truth. Legalizing an act does not make it moral. Don't be fooled by the argument, everybody's doing it. Your spirit should be offended and your intelligence insulted by such reasoning. When all of the evidence is in, the world's graduate school of hard knocks will teach what you young men were taught in the kindergarten of your spiritual training. Wickedness never was happiness. Why wait for finite man to prove what his infinite creator has already revealed to his prophets? I know how much you like thrills, adventure, and excitement. You want excitement? I'll give you excitement. Do you realize you're outnumbered in the world 1,000 to 1? The sons of Helaman didn't face those odds. As the winds of popular opinion intensify and the mocking increases from those who were trying to justify their own unrighteous actions, you will be required to put on the full armor of God. You will need to fight with all your strength to keep unspotted from the world. We plead with you to stay true. Not for us, but for you. You are the future youth leaders of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. With odds of 1,000 to 1, shall the youth of Zion falter? I give a firm testimony, no, never. The youth of the kingdom will emerge victorious. Now that's exciting. What adventure in that great and spacious building would you trade for the thrill and excitement of building the very kingdom the Savior will come to the earth to govern? We love you, the youth of the church, and we know you will collectively succeed. However, we have great anxiety for individuals we may lose along the way. Speaking as a father, I can tell you, the loss of one of you is too many. We want each and every one of you to succeed, not just the majority. To those of you who are struggling and losing ground, you who have been lured into that building through one of its many doors and now find there are no doors going out, you who feel trapped and defeated, we assure you there is hope. And all is not lost. Through his atonement, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has provided a way for you to escape that awful place. He knows you intimately. He knows your name. He knows your pain. If you will approach your Father in heaven with a broken heart and contrite spirit, you will find yourself miraculously lifted out of that great and spacious building and into the loving and comforting arms of the Savior of mankind. And at your earthly home, You will find your father's arms have always been open for you, and that during your absence, your mother never stopped setting your place at the table in front of your empty chair. You will see clearly the difference between telestial happiness and celestial happiness, and you will experience and savor celestial joy through this life and throughout all eternity. I so testify and promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.